The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1 down through verse number 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, down through verse number 11. When you get there, say amen. Amen. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed with everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want to speak for a few moments on this subject. He's more than just a baby. Let's talk to the Lord for just a few moments. Father, we thank you for just allowing us to see another Christmas season. Father, we're thankful that you sent your lovely son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth, Father, for a purpose. And Father, I pray today that you would help us to rejoice in that purpose and in that reason. And Father, we ask right now, if there's someone under the sound of my voice who knows not Christ as his or her Savior, I pray that this will be the glad hour that they repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Father, please take full control now. Speak to all of our hearts, both saved and lost. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the people of God said, amen. All right, you may be seated. In just 4 days, we're going to celebrate Christmas. Now, it's a glorious time of the year. I enjoy it. Matter of fact, I'm glad that we have that time set aside to remember our Savior coming into the world. And a lot of people will only see Jesus as a baby in a manger. But I came to tell you today that he's more than just a baby. I've got 2 points to my sermon here today. And both of them are alliterated, so you'll be able to follow it. Number one, he's a Savior. He's a Savior. Notice Luke chapter 2, verse 11a. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. See, Jesus is more than just a baby. Jesus is a Savior. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10 puts it this way. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The primary reason for Jesus coming to this earth wasn't to heal people. It wasn't to feed people fish sandwiches. The primary purpose for Jesus coming to this earth was so he could save lost humanity. And I believe that every born again child of God ought to be excited over the very fact that we have a Savior today that we can rejoice in, because thank God, if it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? That was his purpose. Here again in our text, the scripture says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. In Luke chapter 9, don't turn there, but in verse 56, it says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In John chapter 3, in verse 17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There was a man that used to travel on the Long Island Railroad. And he would go out on the 5 o'clock train, and he had his eyes open. He was blind, and there was a Dr. Garl, G-A-R-L, and Dr. Garl performed an operation on his eyes that allowed him to be able to see. And they said that that man, when he got on that one day, when he got on that 5 o'clock train, he said he started at one end of the car and just walked all the way up. And they said he was stopped by each seat as he was going up. And he would tell the people, if you have anybody who's blind, who can't see, he said, send them to Dr. Garl. He gave me my sight. And he just kept right on going and just kept right on going, just stopping at each seat and telling people, listen, Dr. Garl gave me my sight. Well, listen, just like I'm sure everybody in here, all of us were born with physical sight. We can see. But all of us were born in darkness because we were born as sinners. We were blinded by the enemy. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he fell and darkness fell upon all of us. And as sinners, we couldn't see. But one day, praise God, the Savior came, pulled off the blinders, and like the one man who gave a testimony about his physical sight, we can give the same testimony about our spiritual sight. Once I was blind, but now I see. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus has given you your sight today and you can see some things? Oh, listen, if that man who was there on that Long Island Railroad, if he could tell others about Dr. Garl, hey, I think we ought to be able to tell them about the great physician, and his name is Jesus, and he can open blinded eyes today. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, listen, we were blind, but he gave us our sight. Everybody in this building today, you're either saved or you're lost. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. You can't pay enough money to get out of hell, nor can you pay enough to get into heaven. There's no middle ground. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He came so that we might have spiritual life. And by the way, he is the only Savior of the world. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus your Savior this morning? Are you going to heaven this morning? Nobody in this building has to go to hell. Why? Because Jesus is more than just a baby. Oh, we're going to celebrate him coming in. But we're also going to celebrate him as a crucified, risen Savior today, because that's the hope for humanity. Do you know that a baby never poses a threat to anybody? Matter of fact, you look at even baby creatures. You know, a baby tiger looks cute, looks like a little cat. When you look at little babies, hey, they pose no threat. I wouldn't feel threatened to go up and pet maybe a little baby tiger or a little baby lion. I wouldn't feel threatened. I'd know where to keep my hands, but I wouldn't feel threatened. Because a baby does not threaten anybody. But see, our Savior, yes, he was a baby. Yes, he came into this world. But oh, he grew up and became the one that he was supposed to become, the Savior of the world. And nobody has to go to hell because Jesus died, shed his blood on Calvary's cross so that you and I could go to heaven. If you're not saved today, you can be saved during this Christmas season. This just came to my mind. I don't even know. Is there anybody in here who was saved in the month of December? Slip your hand high. Anybody in this building? All right, praise the Lord. Sister Annie was saved in the month of December. Praise the Lord. Hey, she's got something to celebrate. Amen. By the way, whether you're saved in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, or November, or December, praise God, you still have something to praise God for. But I know it can be a special time for those who were born again in the month of December. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And by the way, man has always been sought after. Man has not been seeking after God. You remember when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't Adam that came looking for God. Adam, matter of fact, he was hiding from God. And God came to Adam, and the first recorded words that we have in the Bible of God speaking after Adam's sin was, "Adam, where art thou?" It wasn't that God didn't know where he was. He just wanted Adam to acknowledge where he was. And God came seeking after man. In John chapter 4, when Jesus came to this earth, he made a statement one time. He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why did he have to go through Samaria? Because there was a woman in Samaria who had been married 5 times and evidently just decided to give up on everything and started shacking up, because he said, "The one that you're with right now, that's not your husband." But then Jesus came seeking after her, and she came with her water pot to get some water. And then when she came to the well, Jesus started telling her about that living water, that if she would drink of this, she would never thirst again. And she said, "Well, give me some of that water." And by the way, she experienced some of that water. And as I've told you before, the Bible says she left her water pot. And I told you the reason why I believe she left the water pot is because she got that living water. She didn't need the water pot anymore, because praise God, she got the whole well. Amen. And hey, I'm glad today that we have a Savior who comes seeking after people. He came seeking after me, and he found me on a ship out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, March of 1980 at 2 a.m. in the morning. He founded me, arrested my soul, and I received him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, my life changed. I don't know where you were when you met the Savior, but wherever you were, you weren't seeking him. He was seeking you. And if you thought you were seeking him, it's because he had brought conviction on your heart through somebody's witnessing to you, a testimony, a sermon that you heard, or your life circumstances. He brought those things in, but you had to receive the one who came seeking after you. In Luke chapter 19, don't turn there, but in Luke 19, Jesus led a man to himself named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Jesus led him to himself, and the Bible says this day Jesus said, "Is salvation come to this house?" And in Luke 19 verse 7 it says, "And when they saw it," they, that is the people who were standing around, "they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner." Well, hey, I'm glad that he came to be a guest with a man that is a sinner, because the last time I checked, you're a sinner. You were, you still are. You understand what I'm saying? You're a sinner. You were, and you still are. You're a sinner. You were, and you still are. But here's the key. You're not the same sinner that you were before Christ came and saved you. You understand what I'm saying? He came to save each and every one of us, and all of us had a serious problem. It was a sin problem, and we couldn't do a thing about it. But thank God, Jesus said, "I can do something about it." And he left heaven's glory and came to this sin-cursed earth, because he was the only sacrifice for sin. You say, "Well, wait a minute. They had the blood of bulls and goats back there in the Old Testament. That could take away sin." No, my Bible tells me that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. But all it took was just one sacrificial lamb that was sinless. And his name was Jesus. Praise God. It's by the blood of Jesus that you and I have been saved, born again, washed in his blood. And like the songwriter said, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Cleanse and make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Hey, you want to know why I get excited about Jesus? Because I know what it is to be dipped into the baptismal pool, thinking that that washed away my sins and got me to heaven. But it gave me no victory in my life. Why? Because water can't wash away my sins. It can wash away some dirt on the outside, but it can't clean me up on the inside. Because I joined the church. But joining a church may put you on the church roll, but that's not going to get your name written in the Lamb's book of life. But oh, when I trusted Christ, he saved my soul, changed my life. Say, why? That's what I've been trying to tell you. He's a Savior. He's a Savior.
He's the Savior. This morning, if you're lost, you need to come to Jesus because he's more than just a baby. He's a Savior. You have to repent and receive him. This week, I was talking to a pastor, and he told me, he said, I was listening to a television program, and he said, while I was listening to that television program, he said, I came in on the middle part of it. He said, so I said, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and see if he can put some things together. And he started listening to him. And he said, that man said that he has come to the conclusion. Now, this is the past. He said, that place was packed. That you no longer have to repent to get to heaven. And he said, all those people in there were shouting and praising God with their hands raised. And I told him the reason why they were doing that. And of course, he knew it. I'm just amplifying. I said, because that means they can just live any kind of way they want to live and think they're still going to heaven. No, Jesus told us in his word that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Thank God. Listen, if you're in here today and you're not saved, then you need to repent of your sins. What does that mean? That means you're heading in this direction. You need to do an about face 180 degrees and you need to turn away from your sin and say, I'm giving my whole life to the Savior. Turn away from those things and turn to Jesus, and he'll save your soul. You say, why? Because he is a Savior. He's more than just a baby. Aren't you glad you're saved today? I said, number one, I had 2 points. Number one, I said, he's a Savior. A Savior. Matter of fact, he's the only Savior of the world. And then secondly, he is a sovereign. He's a sovereign. Now, if you don't know what a sovereign is, that literally means a supreme ruler. That's him. Look at the verse again. Luke 2, verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Point number one, but watch this, which is Christ the Lord. Point number two, he's a sovereign. Christ, Christos, literally means anointed one. Just like Jesus Christ, Jesus, Savior, Christ, anointed. He's the anointed Savior. When the Bible says Christ, he is the anointed one. Lord, Kyrios, that literally means he is supreme in authority. These are descriptive terms of our Lord. He's more than just a baby. He is a sovereign today. He's a supreme ruler today. They're descriptive terms. You know, as I was preparing this, I said there are a lot of descriptive terms for Jesus to show us that he's more than just a baby. See, when you receive Christ, he becomes your Savior, and simultaneously, he becomes your sovereign. That means that he is the one who has supreme authority and rule over everything, and you will find out he's everything you will ever need. One man was telling a story, and he said how that there was a noted preacher, and he said he was preaching. And he said there was a man in the back and they were giving testimony. And he said the man tried for a while to get up, but he said he just couldn't get up. And after a while, he was finally able to make it up. And when he got up, he gave testimony and he said how his wife had died and how several of his children had died and how he had lost a lot of finance. He just began to tell about all the things that he had lost. He said, the only thing I seem to have is Jesus. And he said he just sat back down. They said after a while they saw him rocking. And then he got back up and he stood up and he said, you know, come to think about it, he's all I really need. Amen. And sat back down. Hey, I came to tell you today, Jesus is all you really need. He is a sovereign. The Bible tells us he is the word of life. He is the true vine. He's the Son of the Most High God. He's the resurrection and the life. See, he is more than just a baby. He's the righteous judge. He's the rock. Praise God. We can find some firm footing on him. He's the Messiah. He's the mediator. He's the Lord of glory. He's the living water. He's the living bread. He can feed your hungry soul today because he is more than just a baby. He's the Lamb of God. He's Emmanuel. He's the head of the church. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. I'm trying to tell you, he's more than just a baby. He's the judge of the living, Paul said, and the dead. He said he's the door of the sheep. He's the deliverer. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the captain of our salvation. Praise God, he's the bridegroom. He's the bread of life. And if you can't think of anything else, you can address him the way he addressed himself. He is the Amen. He's more than just a baby. Isaiah was trying to describe him. And Isaiah put it this way. Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I'm trying to tell you, he's more than just a baby. He is a Savior, and he is a Sovereign. And if you are saved today, you ought to rejoice in him. You say, "Well, I don't have all that I need to have." If you have Jesus, you have all you need. The Lord's been good to us and better to us than we even deserve. And if you're lost, you need to repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, because he is the only one who can save you. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We're going to celebrate him as a baby. We're going to celebrate him as a crucified, resurrected Savior. Thank God he's our Savior. Thank God he's our Sovereign. Let's bow for prayer.